Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I'm delighted to bring you two of my wonderful friends, my old friend, Gordon Barnett, and my new friend, Monica Street, who sometimes goes by the nickname Momo. Gordon is the founder of GRB Bells, and if you've hung out on Vashon for any amount of time, you've probably seen his exquisite bells at either the artist studio tour or at the Strawberry Festival. Gordon is an artist with years of experience, a BFA in art, experience painting, who landed on a very special genre of jewelry called bell making. And I tell you, when you have experienced Gordon's bells, they really open up the world of bells, because they're not just jewelry. They have a certain energy in them. They're small, and they're exquisitely hand-designed. And even though they're eventually manufactured in a foundry with real metal, beautiful metal, whether it's bronze, silver, or even gold, that handcrafted, hand-designed artisan energy is in every single bell, and they're absolutely gorgeous. But there's something that happens, and one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to Gordon and Momo is that a lot of us who are entrepreneurs or artisans or artists reach a time in our career where we've sort of done what we want to do, but we have a business. And what happens to that business? And Gordon has invested years in creating this exquisite bell line. But then the challenge came out of who could take it on, who could instill the kind of loving care that this kind of enterprise needs, as well as the special combo of artistry and business acumen that running this kind of business requires. So in an incredible stroke of luck, and I want to talk to you both about how this happened, Monica, aka Momo, came into his life, and she is going to carry GRB Bells forward, which is a wonderful for us all, because back at the Strawberry Festival on Vashon Island this year, Gordon and Momo were both there. The bells looked as beautiful as ever, and I am so delighted to know that they have a future. So first of all, welcome to you both. Welcome to you both.
And thank you, Sally.
Yeah. I gave you a brief intro, but I want to turn to Momo and say, tell me a little bit about your background, because I know that you are a multi-talented artist and jeweler, that you have taught art in a variety of professional settings, and that you have a lot of jewelry creds on your own. But how did you discover Gordon and this amazing world of bells, which is an amazing niche market in the world of art and jewelry? How did that happen?
Well, I had been working at a bead store, Fusion Beads, which is now gone. And the owner of Outcast and Company, James Magitary, came in with his front of house manager, Denise. And we had met them over a period of several times. They would come into the shop, but they came in their nice red convertible and asked me to come see the foundry. And I ended up stodging at that tour of the foundry. And
Well, so let me back up. These people are coming in, but you're talking foundries, so you're not talking beads, you're talking bells, right?
I was working at the bead store, and they would come in from the foundry to the bead store to try to get me to come for a tour, and they'd been bugging me. And they showed up one day in a nice red convertible and were like, "Come on down for a tour." And so I did, I set it up and I went down there and I took a tour and they're like, "How would you like to work here?" And so they gave me a trial shift right on the spot. I don't know if you know what a stodge is, but back in the day they would just test you out. There was no money exchange.
Okay.
They would just, you would see, did you fit in? Because
Like
production is
the old apprentice artisan, where
very much so.
you have to prove yourself and learn a bit of the craft before you can go forward, you know. And in this particular foundry, was there more than Gordon's bells? Were there a variety of
Much more. And we were under a non-compete clause, a gag order. So I couldn't talk about my work or who I was working for. And so I went into Gordon's studio after working on his work for about a year and met him, but I couldn't tell him I worked on his work. I just was a big fan and had been following on his website.
Oh, interesting. So you knew Gordon's work, you loved Gordon's work, and you went to meet Gordon, but you couldn't divulge that you were connected to the foundry that was producing his work.
Exactly. But
Oh.
he figured it out because I knew a lot about the bells. He was
That
like, "How do you know so much?"
is
And then
funny.
I said, "I work at Outkast." And he was like, "Oh, you're the new apprentice." And so then that was our first meeting. And then he came in 2016 to assemble some earrings. And we got along really well. I cleaned the desk that he was going to work at. And he's like, "Is it normally this clean?" And I was like, "No, I knew you were coming. I wanted to like spruce it up."
Oh, sweet.
So he eventually asked if we could work together. And then we asked James because that would have been seen as poaching an apprentice. But James said it was fine if we worked together. So I started coming over and just hanging out and trying to absorb some of his amazing knowledge.
Yeah. So, as a fellow artisan, how would you, I mean, what drew you to GRB Bells and what drew you to Gordon's unique work?
So I come from a fine arts painting background. I've been studying art since I was a young child, and had several pivotal art teachers, including Gary Fagan and Farouk Saif. So I already loved architecture. I loved gardening and all of his imagery and sacred geometry I had been studying. And so that combined with when I first started working for James, he was like, "These are sculptural beings of light. Think of it as a chiaroscuro painting. So you're chasing the light through the sculpture."
Oh, that's so amazing. And I'm going to highlight some of this stuff because we can't show visually, we can't show the bells, but they've got places where the light gets through. And so when you talk chiaroscuro, it's the light and dark. So they're not just an object, they're playing with the light. Yeah.
Like I had told you before, I come from Scottish heritage, so I resisted the Celtic knots, but eventually I started studying George Bain at Gordon's insistence, and it really helps the fine motor skills because you start seeing when something is slightly off. Because you just get used to the rhythmic spacing of it with drawing and tracing Celtic knots.
Oh, I see. Boy, because they're so detailed and all. But let me back up and move to Gordon for just a second, because Gordon, when you met Momo, had you been starting to ask yourself what next with this business that you had invested so much in?
Yes, that has been a burning, not a burning question, but a simmering question for me for a number of years. Because I realized that what I do, particularly design-wise, I can be boastful and say nobody carves wax with quite as the same facility as I do. And it's true that I'm one of few people who really loves wax so much and have become very skilled at carving it and measuring with my eye and ascertaining thickness and thinness, which is important when you're carving the wax. It's going to get translated into metal, and if it's too thick, the piece will be too weighty. And particularly when you're working with bells, that affects the sound. So that was the other thing that I loved about carving bells, is that ultimately it was going to have a visual aspect and an aural aspect as well. And so I don't remember your question
Well,
leading the original salad.
we were talking about whether you were thinking about what's next, because
Oh.
I know that I don't think it's boastful. I think you have a national, if not international, reputation working with the bells, and you're known for your artistry. And you're getting older. We all are. We all are.
Yes.
And there comes a time when you begin to say, I have loved this, but I don't want to do all the work and all the marketing and all the merchandising and everything that goes into running a business. But who can take my baby?
Yes.
Who will honor it in the way that it
Exactly.
deserves to be honored?
Yes, that was the conundrum that I was facing. I've had apprentices before, a number of them along the way, but no one who loved the bells in quite the same way as I do. And so it was going to be an increasing problem for me as to what to do with it. And sometimes I thought, well, I can sell it. And that seemed pretty soulless. And that process would involve lawyers and all kinds of things that I didn't want to play, games that I didn't want to play. And so Momo became a godsend in many ways, because she knew the pieces, she loved the history of the pieces. We fell in love with each other as professionally, and so it just was perfect. She was the answer to many of those problems.
It's totally incredible, because to have somebody who has who is an artist, who understands the foundry world, who
Yes.
understands a bit of the business side, who loves the bells, who gets them, and then has incredibly good energy on her own, because I can testify she has incredibly good energy. So, that combo is just super special. I mean, I was just like so excited for you, because that's a rare catch, I would say.
Yes, and she has the icing on that cake is that she does social media so well. And so and
Ah.
that's the part that I've been a studio artist all my life, and hiding out under my Magnavisors, and to play with Facebook and TikTok and all of those acronyms that I can't even keep track of, that's where the business is done in this country anymore, in the world anymore.
Yeah,
And
it's a
so
whole different world, and we're all laughing because it took us quite a while to get this Zoom conversation going today. Because you are not a digital native. You didn't come
No, I'm
into the
not.
world. You're an artist, and we can't do everything, but how great to have a new wave of energy with somebody who does understand that new world.
Indeed and indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
Un poco.
Un poco. Well, enough to navigate. You don't have to, it's not like you're starting a dot com or anything. On your website, you talk about a transition that sounds like it's taking place over a couple of years. Is that right? That you are gradually, Momo's doing social media for you now, working with you, but what's the plan? How do you transition a business like this?
My plan is to retire, and I'm trying to figure that out, what that means. And I often joke that I work harder trying to be retired than I did when I was working. And that's because it's true, because I'm doing other things than sitting and carving wax, because I can't do that anymore with any facility. So it's, again, she's a godsend. She knows a whole lot. I'm ready to stop, and she's my chance to actually retire
Oh,
and
that's so beautiful.
let the bells keep on
Keep on
ringing.
ringing. Yeah. Let me tell people that I'm speaking with the partners in GRB Bells, Monica Street and Gordon Barnett. The Gordon, the founder, and Monica, or Momo, is taking things forward. So you also mentioned just now a problem that I know, but I had never thought about it, which is that our hands lose a little dexterity. Oh, and your hands, I mean the you I'm always boggled by the bells because they're so finely designed and they require so much dexterity. So does that mean that you're no longer crafting and cast wax and making new bells right now?
That's true. I haven't made a new bell in, I don't, 4 years, 5 years. Because I'm dealing with macular degeneration. So
Oh my God. And then you have the eye thing. Yeah. I
then I
mean,
have eyes that are not playing well. And
yeah.
that's actually, I'm hoping I can still write in my journal. I'm a little spotty with my handwriting, but I believe that there are some times when I can draw, and I'm intending to keep doing as small of work as whatever kind of work I can do that's creative and interesting that way, but not with bells.
Yeah,
And that.
I get it. You know, I'm really curious about what happens to artists as they age, and I love how people make their transitions. You know, when Matisse had to go to cutouts because he couldn't paint in the way he'd painted anymore, and the folks who are able to work with macular to just develop a whole nother stream of art because they can't see the way they once did. So, Momo, are you going to take over the crafting of bells? What's your thinking there?
Yeah, I have been crafting the bells for
Oh.
over 10 years. So when I was in the foundry, I was polishing the bells. So for the first 2 years, I was just polishing. And then as I grew into teaching casting, then I was starting to cast some of them. But James Magitare and I continued to work together even after he closed Outcast. So I've been working on the Gordon's work since before I met him,
Do you
because
think
I
you'll
was work.
create new bells?
That's the hope. I think the first couple years will probably just be me figuring out this economy and how to sell magic and something special and handcrafted in the age of 3D printing. And so
Yeah.
I think for the first couple of years, like Gordon has, I have all of Gordon's molds in my space right now, including some stuff that isn't bells, a lot of his bespoke jewelry. And, you know, I think eventually the hope is that it keeps growing behind, you know, and I get more and more apprentices and I'm able to, you know, build it into a business that's really thriving. But right now, I'm not carving anything. I'm just busy making things because we're getting ready for the Maryland Renaissance Festival.
Oh, really? Oh, how
Yeah.
cool. Yeah, because I mean, the kind of business that you're in is it's so multifaceted, from the design of the bells to the casting to all the stuff that goes into the foundry and the manufacturer. And then there's the bringing it out to the world and being nice to people for days on end while you are at a booth selling your wares, like you were at the Strawberry Festival on Vashon Island, and now you're going to the Renaissance Fair. So, you know, it's super exciting what you're doing, and it also is multifaceted, and I would assume that it also means that you can't quite yet quit your day job. Am I right on that one?
Oh no, I quit my day job
Oh,
in
you did.
February.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
So you.
I was sewing for a local S&M company, and I decided to tap out on that because if just started feeling like in this economy, in this world, like I just need to go all in and try to make this work as a business. So while I'm still an employee, and yeah, I do it 7 days a week, I make things, and I'm on social media, so out there just trying to make it happen.
Well, let's tell people how to find out about you, because the hard part about being on Voice of Ash on audio is that we don't get to see the bells. So where would I go to see the beautiful bells on social media?
So GRB at GRB Bells on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And then just our website is GRB Bells. So you can see the entire line there. And then we are also in person at 106 Pike Street, a store called Makers. We have a selection of bronze bells there across the street, from the entrance to Pike Place Market.
And if you go there and you love it, then you can also inquire, like, for more, other metals as well, if people are interested. 'Cause I think many, many moons ago, somebody convinced my husband to do a really nice present for me, and it got one of the gold bells. And boy, that sits too often in my drawer because I treasure it too much, So let's kind of round out the interview by making the case for, in this crazy world of AI, automation, 3D printing, that is divorcing us more and more from things that are made by real humans with their hands. Make the case for the bells, because I feel like you are kind of contrarian in a way that's beautiful and I think really desirable. So why would someone want a GRB Bell as opposed to taking something to their local 3D printer?
Gordon, do you want to talk about that?
Well, part of the gift, part of the value that I can give Momo is that since I can't make the bells anymore, and I haven't been manufacturing them for a long while, so they are their own characters. They have some independence. I have something like over 200 designs in the line. Not all of them are lively and active. But those things, in order to go on, just I have to be given to give Momo access to using those. And so I had to let go of many things and just let the bells be their own characters and have their own lives. And they're in the good hands with Momo. They are in better hands with Momo than they are with me in terms of how to make the business lively. And so I am happy to give Momo as much support as I can, as much time and as much permission, just to carry on, because they aren't going to do that with me. And so she is the right person to carry them on.
And I'll get back to you in a second, Momo. And again, folks, I'm talking with Gordon Barnett and Monica Street, aka Momo. What's been the, as we age, and I'm so interested in staying creative as we age. One of the arts that we have to learn is letting go. What's been the hardest letting go for you in this process?
It gets easier and easier because my age is and my proclivities to prefer to travel rather than sit at the jewelry bench. It's letting me accept my own freedom and in retirement to let the bells go. And it's like we've often called them, Stephen and I have often called them our kids. And Momo too, because they are their own characters. I keep stressing that. And you can't stand in the way of your children. You let them go. And that's the part that I've come, the understanding that I've made with myself. And it's become joyful to let them go.
That's amazing. Well, it sounds like there's some good inner work behind that to really see what's real, to welcome what's real, and to seize the opportunities that you have now, free from being behind the bench all the time. And so let me ask, Moma, what's the hardest part of this adoption process for you, where you're taking somebody's life work and also their kids? Yeah, in some sense. So, what's the most, yeah.
Well, I have nannied a lot over the years and taught many people's children, and taught many people's adults as well. So, I think the hardest part about this whole process for me is just not getting to spend as much time with Gordon on the work and being able to ask him, the random questions, because I still learn something new every time I talk to him. But I think the true gift for me is that I'm spending more time with the bells and getting deeper into the designs. Because even though we do have them cast somewhere else, I still have to polish and finish and now I am taking on apprentices and teaching people to do what I once did. So there's that pro whole process of me starting to let go, which,
And that.
I'm not saying let go completely, because I'm just getting started, but in many senses, it's part of passing that knowledge on to the next generation as well.
Yeah, I get it. Well, that's a beautiful process. And yeah, I mean, Gordon's getting ready to fly, so he can't be in the nest all the time, and yet I'm sure there are tons of questions and stuff that come up. Now, this might be a little woo-woo, so if it is, but when you're working with the bells, do you feel an energy?
Yeah, always. It's not just an energy, it's a vibration. I think a lot of geometry is transmuted through the work because you have to. I'm basically following in his footsteps, finger footsteps, if you will, because I'm trying to recreate the work. So it's a trying to keep up that level of craftsmanship, and it's a gift. I'm thrilled to be dancing with the work. Ever since I started doing it, other people would be like, "Oh no, Gord, the bells are here at the Foundry." They'd be like, "No," and I'm like, "Yay!" So, I think just trying to stay excited and feeling lucky about getting to do this work is what I would like people to feel when they wear it. Like I heard from so many people on Vashon this weekend about how the work affected not only their lives but their families, and how it touched them in a way that was mystical and magical. And that is something that we miss in our daily lives, and to be present and to be here and to be present and aware of the genius that he created while he's still with us is very important to me.
Well, I just celebrate the both of you, Gordon, for everything you've created over the years, and the magic and the mystic and the in the bells, and also Momo as being the perfect person at the perfect time to come in and offer a gift that a lot of artisans and artists don't receive, which is somebody who can continue the lineage and continue the work. So you're a match made in heaven there. And although I also want to acknowledge that Gordon is well matched with Stephen Silek, because I interviewed Stephen a couple of weeks ago. So, there we have that too. So thank you both. I know you worked so hard at Strawberry Festival. If I were in your shoes, I would still be in a little comatose in recovery. So thank you very much for joining me. But I really want to take the energy that you created in Strawberry Festival and bring it out to the world, and suggest that everybody go to the website grbbells.com for starters. And I'll have all that information on the show notes for Embracing the Muse. So thank you so much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you, Sally.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.